there are lots of other fun things happening in the gastroenterology and hepatology division. Give us some other highlights, if you would.
One of the great pleasures of my job is getting to come to work every day and deal with the folks in the division, because it really is a remarkable division, and was so well before I became the chief. This division, for a variety of historical features as well as really excellent leadership before me, is one of the broadest, deepest divisions in terms of the quality of doctors that you'll find anywhere in the country. Our division has 18 doctors who are named as America's Best Doctors. That's more than any division in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, in fact, all of the academic divisions combined. We have world leaders in every subspecialty of gastroenterology. So you name it, whether it's viral hepatitis, whether it's advanced endoscopy, whether it's functional bowel disease, whether it's inflammatory bowel disease, you will find our people leading the international studies, giving lectures at the national meetings, et cetera, et cetera. So the quality of care that you can get here, regardless of your GI or liver ailment, I would put up against anyone in the country.
Yeah, it's a remarkable group of physicians, all of who take wonderful care of patients. So happily, they're also training the next generation of gastroenterologists. Tell me about opportunities.
We really believe that we have three missions as a division. We've talked mostly about patient care and pushing patient care forward, but we consider education to be a centerpiece of what we do. And in fact, where most GI divisions have a single training path, you come in as a undifferentiated general internist and you leave as a gastroenterologist, our people actually have three paths to choose from. They have what's called a clinical investigator path, where they're going to learn primarily how to do clinical research. And parenthetically, we have maybe more people on faculty that have advanced degrees in clinical science than anyone else in the country. We've got the general clinical pathway, which is people that are primarily going to take care of patients and go out to be leaders in their community in North Carolina and elsewhere. And then we have our basic science pathway, during which many of these people will get PhDs. All of them will get an advanced experience in a lab that will push them toward a career as a funded researcher in the basic sciences. So you've got this whole array of training. Layered on top of that, you've got these interesting one-year fellowships for people that are already gastroenterologists. And they say, well, golly, I'm a really good general gastroenterologist, but I want to be one of the world's best inflammatory bowel disease doctors, or I really want to be an esophageal doctor, or I really want to be a super interventional advanced endoscopist. These are all called super fellowships or advanced fellowships. We offer those fellowships as well to get people at the cutting edge of their field.
Look to the future, three, four, 5 years out. What do you think is going to be the most fun new advance?
I think that there's going to be an amazing intersection between the advances in endoscopy and addressing America's biggest public health issue right now, which is obesity. There's been a remarkable explosion in the technology to address obesity from an endoscopic perspective. And there are multiple different devices that are being made to help look at this issue about obesity and see if we can avoid these huge disfiguring surgeries that patients are going through in order to lose weight. Perhaps something as simple as a same-day endoscopic procedure will be all that you need. Now, it'll never work in isolation. It'll always be part of a bigger program that requires issues like looking at nutrition. Almost always there's an endocrinologist involved because diabetes and other metabolic issues are there. And many of these patients have other health problems that require other care. So it's going to be a team approach. But one integral part of that that I think many patients are going to get is an endoscopic intervention.
So diet, exercise, and an endoscope.
Right. And whether that endoscope inserts a sleeve, we've probably put in more of these endoscopic sleeves into the small intestine to change the way people absorb food, whether it involves a space-occupying balloon in the stomach so that you can eat less before you become full. There are a variety, whether it involves a changing of the anatomy of the stomach to exclude a portion of it and make the total volume of the stomach smaller. All of these are achievable now endoscopically.